You feel really bad about yourself. You start questioning if you're a good trader. And the entire thing about you becomes, I need to make profits. That's when I'm a good trader. Up until then, I'm not that good enough. So it's like this cycle of self-doubt. And when this begins, you start to, you know, fear. A slightest loss that you face, you tend to take it very personally. You become then very emotionally attached to the returns that you make. And that's when, you know, things start to go downhill.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Anarchy Podcast. 99% of traders will never make consistent profits. So why listen to the 99% of advice? On this show, we're going to challenge some of the most hallowed and repeated tenets of trading, and in doing so, set you up to succeed where others fail. Spoiler alert, we don't have a secret strategy or magic wand that will let you skip out on the hard work of learning the markets, but we can debunk viewpoints that are holding you back. If that sounds good to you, come join us. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Anarchy Trading Podcast. Today, we have a special interview with Vandana Subramanian. She is a trading psychologist. She's a therapist counselor, the founder of Psychoflakes Counseling Center. She was nice enough to join us on the podcast today. We thought this would be really unique. A lot of interviews in the day trading, the podcast world, they're with other traders. And so we wanted to get somebody who had specific skills in the psychology department, specifically having to do with trading. So Vandana, she's a trading psychologist. She has a ton of experience in this area, and we're very, very fortunate to have her on. Vandana, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Levi. Thanks for having me. I think Jordan was the one who reached out to me on LinkedIn, and he really explained about what you all do, and it was pretty exciting. So it's good to be here.
Well, yeah, well, it's absolutely awesome for us to have you. Appreciate you taking the time. So I guess a good place to start would be kind of introduce yourself and, you know, how did you get into, where are you now? What are you doing? How did you get into, you know, counseling, therapy, you know, and maybe tell us a little bit about Psychoflakes and what you're doing currently and trading psychology kind of in general and how you got into that?
Okay, so I'm from India. I currently stay in Bangalore. A little history about me is that my undergraduate, I did it in finance. And that's how I know a little bit about trading. And I met a lot of them who are traders who used to trade during college. And I used to always wonder, like, why is it that all of them are so into it? Why are they so glued to their screen? So in India, the trading time is from 9:15 to 3:30. So they're constantly glued to their mobile screens. And then also in the night, they're active because the US trades at that time. So it's like a, you know, effect all these stock markets have on each other. So it was pretty interesting to, you know, observe that and see that when my friends used to trade. But I was always passionate about psychology. So I did my degree in clinical psychology. And after that, I set up my own company, Psychoflakes Counseling Center. So it was a small team before. Now we have a team of 12. And we all are therapists. So how I became a trading psychologist is again because of a couple of my friends who were into trading. And whenever they made a loss or whenever they were stuck, they used to come and speak to me about it. And I used to tell them certain things. After that, they were like, okay, why don't you start trading psychology? Because there are very few of them. So before I started to, you know, counsel people, they told me to take a little bit of training in trading so that we can understand emotions. It won't be too theoretical. So I did trade for some days. So I was trained by them to understand how your emotions are and how sometimes, you know, you won't be able to control certain, you know, impulsive decisions that you take. So I did experience all of them, and we did a small test. This friend who I'm talking about is Saket. So he's a well-known trader in India. So he did this test wherein we put out a form saying that we're going to be providing trading sessions. It's complimentary from both him and I. So we got almost around 250 registrations, and we did counseling sessions to these traders. And it was a, you know, beginning of something that, you know, we're going to be discussing today. We had a good response, and they were pretty happy about it. And a lot of them kept coming back later on. Then we started a support group sort of a thing for these traders so that they could speak and interact with each other and learn from their experiences. And so that's how trading psychology started. But otherwise, I'm a trauma-informed therapist. I get a lot of trauma cases, and I do take couples counseling as well.
That's really awesome. Appreciate it. Now, how does trading psychology, how is it the same and how is it different? I guess it kind of, how does it compare to these other forms of, psychology and therapy and counseling that you do? Are there any similarities, any big differences that kind of stand out, or are they maybe more alike than we might think?
Actually pretty alike. It's just that, you know, the way we take up the sessions are a little bit different, because when you speak to any trader, they're just going to, you know, talk to you about a certain themes, and then we dig deeper. When you dig deeper, it essentially boils down to the same thing that we do in any therapy session. So it's more or less the same. It's just that the approach, the entry point, is a little bit different.
So let me ask you this. When you say there's certain what are the themes that you found come across? You mentioned themes. So what are the themes that you mostly come across when it comes to talking to traders?
You know, many of them in India, they start, you know, saying that we need to get our psychology right. So that's the thing that, you know, they start off with. But essentially, to do with discipline, how to not to be emotionally invested in a trade, how to recover losses, how to, you know, not be too addicted to a trade. So, you know, things like this.
Now, as far as, so I know you've talked about kind of the four key emotions that traders face. Could you talk a little bit more about that? Explain what those are and kind of maybe how those could manifest in your trading?
Sure. So, I have named this as the four pillars for any trader based on my experience and interaction with the traders. So the first one is the, you know, discipline aspect of it. So one thing that happens when you're trading is that you would have decided that I'm going to enter the market at this particular point and I'm going to exit at this point based on my research, based on my analysis. So you do that, but the market is pretty unpredictable. And sometimes you're so impulsive because of the emotions of greed or fear, right? So you don't know when to stop, when to cut off, and, you know, be okay with whatever you have made. So discipline over here plays a big role, because no matter what the market conditions are, if you have decided something, go ahead and do it, because that can really help you in, you know, minimizing your losses. And at the same time, you have that confidence that whatever, you know, analysis and research that you have done, it is correct, because you need confidence when you're trading, right? If you're not confident, that's when, you know, these emotions kind of dictate the way you trade. So discipline is one thing that's pretty much important for any trader. The second thing is more to do with consistency. So over here, it's not only to do with the profit that you make, consistency in the way in which you are trading as a person, right? Do the same thing that you're good at again and again. Many a times we have this fear of missing out, or, you know, seeing what the other person is doing and trying to copy that. Most of the times it doesn't really work. I mean, you cannot really fake it till you make it in trading. You really need to know your game pretty well. You need to do the trial and error to see what works the best for you, and continue doing that. That's when, you know, you understand what is your strength. You understand what are the things that you're good at. What are the different conditions that you can trade well? What are the different conditions maybe you don't trade that well? So it's important to, you know your game very well and be consistent about it. Then your risk management. That's again a very important thing, because many a times we're only looking at the upside, right? Okay, if I enter this at this point of time, I'm going to make X amount of money. And yay, that looks great. That looks amazing. But we don't really look at the flip side to things. What if this particular trade doesn't go in our favor? And many a times we don't do good risk planning. So it's important to have a good risk management system in place so that, you know, whatever happens, you are in control, at least a little bit in control of how you're going to take in your losses or your gains. So that's one more thing. And the last pillar is to have accountability partners, because, you know, many a times when you trade, you're alone and it's your hard-earned money. And sometimes when you're trading, you tend to, you know, lose the value of money that you're trading because it's all in a digital form. And, you know, you're not that worried about that, you know, okay, I lost so much dollars or I lost so much lakhs. You don't really, you know, notice that if it is in a digital format. So accountability buddies are those who, you know, help you to keep in check, right? Like when you share things to them that, you know, this is how my trade went today, this is the profit I made, or this is the loss I made, you feel that sense of accountability to the other person. And, you know, sometimes they do the reality check that, you know what, you had a bad week, so why don't you take a break today?
I find that very interesting, because honestly, those coincide pretty closely to with what Levi and I have been chatting about, you know, on this podcast, but a bit more in detail. And I think from from that psychological viewpoint, in terms of trading alone, how many traders do you find that you're talking to are actually, you said, you know, having a support thing? Do most traders you find have support, or are they reaching out to you because they don't have support?
Many of them have semi-support, I would say, because some of them do share it with their friends or with their spouse. But, you know, after a point, they don't, because, you know, their family members tend to get worried when they make a lot of losses. So they don't like to see their loved ones worried. So they end up, you know, hiding or, you know, having this white soul to them. But so that's why I would say it's like 50% of them do tell, but many of the times it's a lonely journey, because, you know, you don't want to say to other people that you're not making good returns, right? Because it's like a factor that pulls you down, and when you communicate it to somebody else, it becomes more real. So people don't want to say that. But when they come here and they speak about their journey, when they speak about, you know, the things that they do feel a lot more better. So it does really help when you speak to somebody about your journey and what you do for the day. And that can actually sometimes even motivate you to do better.
It's funny that you mentioned, you know, kind of talking about your losses, make them seem real. So people kind of hide. I found that to be so true. Even, you know, Jordan and I have been very fortunate. We kind of learned trading together and have been doing it lockstep. We kind of, it came baked in, our accountability came baked in with our learning process. But even with Jordan, like, we'll go on, you know, we'll send each other screenshots of when we have winning days.
Of our godlike trades.
Yeah. Our god trades. Jordan just had an amazing trade, caught the top of the Dow and had an amazing trade and sent it to me. But what's funny is, like, the tendency is to not send your bad trades. So, like, you lose a bunch of trades in a row, which happens. It doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to lose. And the tendency is not send those. And so you kind of, and people on the internet do this too, of course. If you go on Twitter, if you go on anywhere where traders congregate, they all show their wins and no one shows their losses. Which is, I guess, interesting and probably not terribly healthy.
True. And, you know, that also makes people really feel very, very bad about themselves, because everywhere around people are just posting about, I made so much of money, or I had this much percentage of return. So, and when you have made a loss that particular day, and when you see messages like this, you feel really bad about yourself. You start questioning if you're a good trader. And the entire thing about, you know, you becomes that I need to make profits. That's when I'm a good trader. Up until then, I'm not that good enough. So it's like this cycle of, you know, self-doubt begins. And when this begins, you start to, you know, fear. So whenever you feel that the trade is not going in your direction, or, you know, a slightest loss that you face, you tend to take it very personally. You become then very emotionally attached to the returns that you make. And that's when, you know, things start to go downhill. Because the more we are emotionally attached to any profession, for that matter, we might not be able to work well in it, right? Like if I'm a therapist, I can't be emotionally invested in my client's stories or in my client's journeys. Because if I am, then I'll not be able to do my job that well. I might get distracted. I might, you know, take decisions which probably I shouldn't be making. So that's the, you know, road that many, many traders take in. You can correct me over here, like based on your experience.
No, that's absolutely sounds. I mean, good grief that you could have written a biography about my trading life. You know, you talk about, hey, not being invested in it. That's I love the parallel with, you know, you as a therapist, you can't be invested in your clients either. You know, so what's the best way from just a psychological standpoint to not get invested? I mean, it's tough, right? When you have real money involved and, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's something that you're kind of seeing as a career path. What's your advice to a trader who is struggling with that and gets really invested in their trades? What's the best way to maybe start conquering that and getting more detached?
Well, there are a couple of things that you can do. It might seem very easy when I speak about it, but it does take a lot of time for you to, you know, get detached to your trades. So you can ask yourself this question. What, according to you, is a trader? So if I have to ask the two of you, what would the answer be?
I guess I would say a trader is anyone who takes trades, if you want to get it really basic. But I feel like there's a lot of people who take trades that aren't traders, they're gamblers. So I really don't know. I mean, I would say in the grand scheme of things, probably just someone who's taking trades or identifies as a trader. Maybe it's not someone who just identifies as a trader.
Okay. What is the definition that you would want to give it to yourself? Like Jordan the trader, how would you define Jordan as a trader?
I would identify Jordan as a trader as someone, as the person who is very specifically focusing on taking trades and making it into an actual profession. It's something that it's not just doing for fun or as a quick gamble, but actually trying to turn it into an actual profession.
For me, that'd be, you know, very similar. And like, if I was going to define myself as a trader, it'd be, you know, somebody who's developed an edge over time over the market and then can just ruthlessly and coldly take advantage of that edge and consistently take money out of the market.
Okay, that's nice. So I asked you this question because, you know, you need to define yourself as a trader firstly, and based on this definition, you start working towards it. So when I looked at both of your definitions, it was more to do with a long-term goal, right? It was not short term. It was something that is going to take time, patience, hard work, a lot of dedication. So many a times when you ask people to define themselves as a trader, they would often say that they want to be a profitable trader, or, you know, they want to be able to make so much of returns that, you know, maybe one day if they stop to work, they will have enough money with them, enough wealth with them to take care of themselves and the generations to come. So it's very money driven. And when you have that, you will never feel that satisfaction. So if anybody you ask how much money you would want to have, they would not have a number, right? So how you define yourself as a trader is very, very important. And second thing is, trading is a more of a long-term thing. So you cannot look at it as a short-term aspect of it because it's pretty unpredictable. So you're here to, you know, generate your wealth, and it takes its own time. So if today you make a loss, you cannot take it that seriously because you need to look at the bigger picture and see how it goes. So that is one way to kind of detach yourself from the, you know, present moment and look at it as a job that is going to be there for like the next 30 to 35 years and see what is your end goal like. Because any job that you take in, you do have a path, you do have that, you know, progress that has been set for yourself. And, you know, you go in it as a journey. So same thing to do with trading as well. So you need to, you know, look at it in a long-term thing. And the last thing over here is, you know, to just take trading as a one-day thing, not something that you carry it forward. Like if you made a loss today, it's okay. Tomorrow is a new day. You don't have to do this revenge trading or anything to compensate to the losses that you made today. Just look at it like, you know, at the end of the year, say you want to make 25% return of the capital that you've invested. So work towards, you know, getting that. Your one day thing is not going to define, you know, your yearly performance as a trader. So these are some small ways in which you can remind yourself to detach yourself from trading.
I like that. I mean, because it is interesting, like trading's kind of unique, right? Where you can have months where you lose money, right? You can have months where you, like, literally, if you just hadn't traded, you'd be richer than if you had traded. So it's really unique in that. And I like the idea of kind of looking at it as a long-term thing, and maybe not attaching my own definition of what a trader is to, like, money. Because you're right, like, even the best traders in the world, they'll have times when they'll lose money. So I like that. I mean, that's really interesting. As far as you talked, I want to go back a little bit, because you talked about, and this kind of ties in, you talked a little while ago about confidence and how you need to be, you know, it's important to have confidence as a trader. And I absolutely agree with that. But a lot of our listeners are still unprofitable. So still, as of yet, they're still learning. They're in the process. And while learning, you're not profitable. You're going to lose a lot. So you're just going to trade, and every day you're just going to lose money. And it's how it is, right? As you're learning, and that's not a huge surprise, you're learning something new, right? Why would you be good? But how do you have any, I guess, advice to a newer trader who's still losing a lot on how they can build their confidence, even while they're still kind of still losing, still kind of chasing profitability? How do you gain confidence in the midst of that when it's taking a long time to win?
Yeah, I mean, from every loss, you do learn something. Right. And for example, when we were trading, so initially we have this beginner's luck. So definitely you do make money. And that is the thing that hooks you into trading, that, you know, I put in, like, say I put in $500 and I ended up making $1,500. So you're like very, very happy. Right. And you're like, okay, let me increase my capital. Let me put in more money. And the second time also you get some profit. You're like, wow, this is a magic pot. And you're doing everything without any analysis, right? When you do this the first few times. And then you realize that sometimes it doesn't go in your favor and you end up losing all the profits that you made. And so that's when it hits you and you want to kind of recover that money that you lost. And then you enter the loop. So that's how everybody begins trading. So over here, I think understanding the market is very, very important. So when you talk to any trader, for that matter, market is like an entity, right? It is a person who is pretty unpredictable, pretty emotional at times, because you don't know what swings it is going to do. And it's not that it's an independent entity. It is dependent on the other markets in other countries as well. So it's very important that you understand the market and understand yourself. So there are some days you would have noticed that, you know, you are very good at this kind of a market situation. So understand, what is it that you did? What is it that you could do better? What is it that probably you shouldn't have done? So analyze your trades, at least in the first few years, to understand the style, the trend in the market. And then slowly, don't increase your capital initially itself. I mean, take your time, start small, get a little bit of confidence in the way in which you perform, and then you increase your capital slowly. That's a good way to start. Many a times, because of small wins, we feel like, okay, we need to increase our capital. But I think first start off with a small capital, see how things are going. Set yourself a target and work towards it. Many a times you set targets which are not achievable. So realistic targets, set those first. And even set how much of money that you would like to lose. So this is another very uncomfortable question, which a lot of traders, when I ask them this, the answer is like, they've not really thought about, which is on how much of money that they would want to lose. Everybody's just looking at how much of money they want to gain. So set aside the price that you're ready to lose, and then you trade. I think that can really help you to kind of, you know, move ahead with confidence. Sometimes you might even ask me, I have set in, say, $500 and I lost $500. So it's okay. Then don't trade for that month. Just observe the market. Just see how things are. And the next month you come in, and based on your past observations, try to, you know, take decisions. So that's the only way in which, you know, you can enjoy trading and not be that emotionally invested and gather your confidence step by step.